I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Grab your pitchfork, light your torch, and get ready for inciting a riot. Conventional thinking has been warned, because we're going to gather, and we're going to march, and we're going to blow its f***ing house down.
Hello, rioters, and welcome back to Inciting a Riot, the podcast. I would be your left-wing, dirt-worshipping host, Firelight. Today, I have a brand new voice in the tarot world that I cannot wait to share with you. I first discovered him on the Instagram Explore page because Instagram decided that, according to its algorithm, he and I would be bestest friends. I saw his stuff like 10 times and I was like, I've got to reach out to this guy. It is the bad tarot reader himself, Matt Harris. Matt, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here. And I had no idea that I made the Explore page on Instagram. So that's
you did.
Kind of awesome.
You made the Explore page like a whole bunch. Like a whole bunch. I kept seeing your memes.
I feel like a Kardashian. I'm such an influencer.
And I kept seeing your memes and I thought, oh, this must be a new trend. This must be this new tarot memes must be a new trend or something. And then I realized it was all the same person. And it was you. And so many other people started sharing your posts and your memes and stuff. And I was like, I've got to track this guy down. I need to figure out who he is and what he's all about.
That I had no idea. That's awesome.
So your Instagram is Bad Tarot Reader. Where did that come from?
Yes. It stemmed from... I've been involved in tarot for... I would say like reading and teaching for about a little over 5 years. But I stopped about a year and a half ago because I just got kind of fed up with a lot of the things I was seeing. Like all of a sudden it was super trendy to be into like occult things, and which I am super happy about. Like I think it's great that things like tarot and witchcraft and magic and all that have gone more mainstream. But at the same time, I was like seeing things from people that just, I would like read them and be like, that doesn't make any sense, or you don't need to do that, or like, why is that a thing that people are doing? But I felt the need to conform, because I was like, this is where it's going, and I'm like, I need to like, you know, be all love and light and namaste and like, you know, be it that way. But it just felt super inauthentic, so I just kind of stopped. But as I'm sure you know, like things like tarot just kind of find a way to creep back into your life. And I've got, you know, shelves of books and, you know, 100 decks that I'm constantly looking at. So eventually I finally picked it up about 6 months ago again. And I was like, I got to do something that just feels like more like me, a little more honest, a little more like, I don't give a shit what you think. And that's kind of how it started. It started kind of as like a way to me, like, to vent about it. And then it just kind of picked up and it is where it is now, which I'm super excited about.
That you've been what reading for about 5 years?
It's always been a part of my life. I would say like when I was a kid, I was super into like wizards and magic. There's actually a Polaroid picture of me. I don't know how old I was. Maybe I was 8, and I had set up this like little altar and had like a little like snow globe with a wizard inside of it. And I wrote a sign that said Matt Psychic Service. And then I made someone take a Polaroid picture of me. So I found that recently and I was like, this explains a lot.
We would have been very good friends, except in my altar of witchiness, I would have had all of my McDonald's Barbies be my clients.
Yes. Yeah, I know exactly which McDonald's Barbies you were talking about.
I had all of them. And they were superheroes.
I'm pretty sure I did too. Yeah, right? They're awesome.
So, do you read...
So, like,
do you,
even when I was a kid...
Yeah, so do you read... I mean, do you read professionally as well? Like, do people pay you for readings? Do you just do it for fun on the side?
Back in the day, yes. I would say from, like, 3 years ago to, like, about a year ago, I was a professional reader. People were paying me money. I had moderate success. I wasn't, like, making a living off of it, but it was, you know... a few readings a week, and it was going really, really well. But it got to that point again where I was starting to feel so inauthentic because I was trying to, like, it was like a square hole round peg kind of situation where, like, people were expecting a certain thing. So I was trying to give it to them, and I was like, this doesn't feel right. Like, the readings were going well and people were enjoying them, but, like, on the inside, I was dying a little bit. So I was like, maybe I need to, like, walk away and, like, give it some space. And that's kind of what I did.
So where did the Bad Tarot Reader project come from? I mean, and it's just like coming through some of your memes. They're hilarious. I'll try to post some of them in the show notes, but like your Queen of Wands meme is like, you've got the Queen of Wands. She's surrounded by names like Kamala Harris, which I love, Gloria Steinem, Anna Wintour.
Oh, yeah.
Cardi B, Nicki Minaj, which I love that you've put them together. Given
yeah,
to,
come on.
Constance Wu, and it's just the lyric, I'm a boss ass bitch, 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 bitch. I mean, it's the funniest stuff, because it's like, you look at the cards and you read the meme, and it's like, it's not necessarily an explanation of the tarot card itself, but it's also not that.
Yeah.
Where did this project come from?
I think that's kind of what stems. I think it comes from two places. A, I wanted to show people that, like, tarot doesn't have to be so serious. Like, you read all of these books by these, like, great tarot readers and teachers from, like, you know, the 70s and into now. And, like, so much of it is so serious. And I'm like, it's pictures on cardboard, you guys. Like, it's not that serious. Like, they don't, the thing that is serious and what holds the power is you. It's not the card. So, like, let's tone it down a notch, first of all. And then, second of all, it was just a way to make them more relatable. And for instance, like, people have such trouble with the court cards that, like, I felt the need to, like, be like, oh, if you're having trouble with the Queen of Wands, like, think of these awesome women. Like, that's the power, whether you're male, female, whatever you identify, like, that's the power. That's the essence you want to think of when you think of this card, be it for yourself or for somebody else. So it's a combination of wanting to not take things super serious, but then also to make the cards relatable. And being a millennial, I thought the best way to do that was using memes.
I adore it. I think it's brilliant. It's a brilliant concept. And you really, you know, nail the essence of some of these cards. I mean, I love it. Your Three of Swords card, swipe left. I love that. It's just, it's hilarious.
Yes.
Don't drunk text your ex. Tarot of Dashboard Confessional, the emo card. Why cookie dough in a tube was invented. It's that scene in Legally Blonde where she's throwing candy at the TV while watching General Hospital and calling Lucky a liar. Like, yes, that's the Three of Swords. And I now know everything I need to know about the Three of Swords.
Yeah, and the best part is I just, like, a lot of the time, I would love to say I, like, plan them ahead, but, like, a lot of the times I just make them on the train to work. And, like, those are the references that pop in my head. And I'm like, well, if I understand it, like, at least one other person will understand this reference.
Well, you've got at least one other person that totally gets all the references. And I'm like, yes, this is that card. This is absolutely that card. To draw back, I want to kind of ask your experience in two realms. One, as a professional reader, what is that like? I mean, I would just love to know what is, like, the dreaded experience of being a tarot reader, because people come to tarot readers or anybody that's doing spiritual work for money. you know, and they mm-hmm. come to folks and they drop all sorts of weird, interesting problems or something like that. Do you ever find yourself wanting to just say, you know, you'd get that job if you applied for it? Instead of just,
yeah, Totally. No, I know. It's the way I approach tarot is like a very, at a very practical level. So obviously if someone's coming to me for advice, like I want to help and I want to give that advice, but like, so I'm like, so much of it is, and it's kind of what I said before, it's like the power isn't in the cards. The power is in you. It's in the person. The cards are just kind of there to help and kind of trigger things you might not be thinking of, or, you know, it might show you ways to go that you weren't aware of. So yeah, I get like, you know, I would get relationship readings, job readings. And I'd be like, well, you know, according to the cards, what you have to do is apply yourself. According to the cards, what you have to do is stop texting your ex-boyfriend. Like, it's all very practical. And that was kind of where I was like seeing the difference between myself and like all these other tarot readers, which not, I mean, it's not my intention to bash anyone or bash anyone's work by any means, because it's working for them and it's working for their clients. But I would have people like calling themselves healers and like channeling spirit. And I'm like, I don't do that. Like, I don't understand what that means. I never have. So like, I would try to like come at it from that direction. It just seemed so like not me. So at the end of the day, I was like, well, if you just apply yourself, like that's really what you need to do.
So the expectation I think that a lot of people have, and I think that one of the reasons why there's a lot of controversy around, you know, in and around spiritual communities about paying for spiritual services is this expectation mm-hmm. of results. This expectation yeah. of, well, I paid for this, so why didn't this happen? Or why isn't this happening exactly like you said? Or why isn't this happening right now? What mm-hmm. are your feelings around people paying for spiritual services and sort of the expectation of results?
I think in order to get the results that somebody wants, you have to set the expectation of, if you're going to get a reading from me, this is how I work. This is what I do. Like, I would never say like, get a reading from me and you'll find true love in 3 days. I would say, get a reading from me. We'll talk about where your blocks are, what you can work on, and you'll leave with some, you know, some proactive things you can work on to help manifest whatever you're trying to manifest. I think as far as being paid for spiritual work, if you're putting in the work and you're putting in the study and you have some sort of legitimate reason why you should be charging for something, I think it's fine. Like, you know, you pay money for everything in the world. And I run into problems where like friends would want a reading from me, and I'd be like, okay, well, here's what I charge. And they'd be like, well, why can't you just do it? I'm like, because I've paid money for books and classes and decks and like the amount of hours I've spent practicing and reading and studying. I'm like, I don't just do this because it's like a gimmick. I do it because I believe in it and because I've put in the work. So if you want a reading, I'll be happy to help you, but you're not getting it free.
Reminds me of that meme where, you know, the boss asks the graphic artist, you know, hey, can you draw me an X? And then the person goes and they draw them an X, and here you go, and here's my fee. It's like, well, why should I pay you this amount? It took you 10 minutes to do this. It's like, yes, but it took me 10 years and an art degree and tens of thousands of hours of practice to be able to do this in 10 minutes. So this is my fee for that.
And that's not to say that, you know, the second someone picks up a tarot deck, they should be charging, you know, $150 for a reading. Well, like someone who's been reading for a number of years, who has clients, recommendations that, you know, has clearly put in the work and the study, like, yes, obviously that you can charge for that. I mean, there are some people who probably can pick up a deck and instantly be an amazing reader. But I think if you're putting in the time, like you should definitely be given monetary reward for that. Not reward, but you should be paid.
Absolutely. I think that if you're doing work, I think you should be paid for the work that you're doing. You know, with all of the caveats of, as long as everything's being done ethically, as long as people aren't being lied to.
Course, obviously, yeah. And I would 100% of course recommend that if you're going to pay for a tarot reading, like do your research. Just don't like Google tarot reader and like give someone your money. Like,
right. Not like that lady in Canada who got that guy to give her, what, $600,000 or something like that I saw recently.
I did not hear about that.
I will send you the news story. It was a lady in Canada, and she tricked some guy out of, like, $600,000, I think, because she said his house was haunted and she was going to sage it. And I guess, sage bundles in Canada are real expensive. Because it was real expensive.
Import-export.
She was
I would
She was like, well, no, you actually have to sell, you have to give me your house because the spirits won't leave as long as you live there. So you have to give me your house. So he like gave her his house. It's a whole,
it's people like that, they give like us a bad name.
It's a black hole of terrible, but it's such a train wreck. You want to keep reading the story. I feel terrible saying that.
That's why I would recommend do your research. And that kind of harkens back to what we talked about. You know, if you're looking for someone to give you that like spiritual advice and like, you know, be love and light about it and all of that good stuff, like then find a reader who will do that. If you want, you know, practical advice, find a reader who would do that. If you're not sure, do more research. Maybe get a reading from one person and a reading from another. I think it's also important to understand
second opinion,
that not every-
oh my gosh, it's like this is a serious thing.
I would also say that like not every tarot reader is going to, you know, quote unquote, tell your future. I personally don't think that's even possible. So if someone says they can predict your future, like take it with a grain of salt. And if someone ever says, I'll give you a reading. And then after the reading says, if you give me more money, I'll tell you more. Like that's a signal to run away because that person just wants your money.
So I know that you kind of, we touched earlier on the fact that, so much of witchcraft, pagan practice, spiritual work, I mean, all this kind of stuff is becoming very in vogue recently. And I think that I would be remiss if I were, if I were interviewing a tarot reader and didn't mention the words Sephora's starter witch kit. I don't think that I can, yes. I don't think I'm legally allowed to speak to a tarot reader and not mention this controversy. So.
It's in our contract.
it's in the contract. It's required. So when did you, I mean, I'm assuming you've heard of this. When did you first hear of this? What were your first impressions?
Yes, I have, yes.
What were your first impressions? Have you seen the deck?
I have not seen the deck. I just saw like the one card that was in the box. I heard about it like when it first came out and started, I saw it all over my Instagram. It was like popping up. And it's like, why would you go to Sephora and buy that kind of stuff? A. and B, why would, it's like a part of me was like, oh, I mean, of course, like this stuff's like trendy now. Of course, like Sephora would be selling it. But then like the more I thought about it, like, there's just so many questions about appropriation and, you know, how authentic the stuff was. And I'm just glad it was shut down when it was shut down. I'm glad it never really saw the light of day. And I'm glad that our voices were heard. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't think, yeah, I'm glad it was shut down, I guess is my short answer on that.
Oh, that's interesting. I was actually kind of a little bummed that they shut it down. There was a lot of weirdness about it, about the kit. But the more that you dug, the more that you saw that at least the company itself seemed to have been doing things mostly on the up and up. Like the sage apparently came from an actual Native American company in California that picked the sage. So actual Native Americans were getting money for picking the sage. And providing the sage bundles.
Oh, see, that I did not know.
Yeah, and that's
maybe
what a
that's
lot
what
of people
I mean,
didn't.
I just assumed it was all like, you know, made in a factory somewhere.
Well, and that's the thing is that. That's what a lot of people assumed. But it, I mean, if you dug a little bit, the company got a Native American company to bundle the sage. The actual artist, because a lot of people were like, oh, the artist wasn't getting paid for the tarot. They stole this person's tarot. It's like, no, it was put on a Creative Commons website and they paid for the license to reuse it. You too could download that tarot deck and color it in and sell and use it for resell. It was this cluster of people saw the image and I think people made a lot of snap judgments about it. But I mean, it's this like small company in California run by like a dozen women. I thought it was just the weirdest thing.
See, it's like, I saw it, I was like, that's interesting. I saw the uproar, and then, like, within a day, it was shut down. I was like, well, that must mean that they were doing something wrong.
And that was part of it. I think that we are so very reactionary, and it started, and it got so heated so fast, and it ended before it ever began. I mean, the kits were never made.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't know. I just thought the whole thing was, yeah,
I think it, honestly, it says a lot about, like, I think it says a lot about how precious these kinds of things are to people like us. And I think that, you know, given the current climate of the world, especially here, and given, like, when you say you're a witch, you're a tarot reader, even in 2018, like, you still get questions like, oh, like, is this devil worship? Or, oh, how does that work? Like, do you not believe in Jesus? I think, like, there's such a need and a feeling to, like, protect what is precious to you that, like, yes, I think a snap judgments can definitely be made, or it's easier to, you know, go on the defense than it is to do the research.
But do you think that those kinds of reactions can lead to gatekeeping in our community? I mean, do you think that we tend to pull the ladder up behind us, so to speak?
I honestly think it just depends on who you're asking. Like, if someone were to walk up on the street and be like, hey, can you tell me about tarot? Can you tell me about your witchcraft practice? Can you tell me about your spirituality? I'd be like, yeah, how much time you got, bro? Like, let's go grab a coffee. I'm not precious about it. Like, I want people to know about it. Like, I have coworkers who, like, pee my Instagram, and they're like, so are you a witch? And I'm like, I mean, yeah, kind of. Want to put a label on it? But I think there are other people who are so protected. It's like their identity. It's what they show to the world every single day, and they're very protective of it. So I think it just depends on the person, quite honestly, and who you ask and how precious their practice is to them. My practice is precious to me in a different way than, you know, someone else's might be precious to them. If that makes sense.
It does. And you know what? You've given me sort of my own little Oprah-style aha moment a little bit about maybe the reasons why people can feel so precious about these kinds of things. Because, you know, I have to work so hard at putting myself out there. I have to actively come out to people constant, you know, there's lots of little closets you have to come out of, you know, different layers of who do you come out to and in what closets do you come out to them from, you know, how public I've had to live my life in certain areas, and the judgments that I've had to deal with because of that. And I think that maybe what you're saying is that some of that gatekeeping comes from, you know, I've done a lot of work to live this life, and now something is just sort of being sold, boxed up in Sephora, or it's on a show on Netflix or something like that. And I can understand the urge to be precious about something like that, to use your words, to be precious about it.
Yes. Yeah. I think it depends on the person's experience. I related a lot to, like, coming out as being gay, where, like, I never had a coming out moment because it was pretty obvious. Like, no one really had to ask. So that's kind of how I view things. I'm like, oh, if you want to know something, ask, or I'm just going to tell you. Like, I never have to tell anyone I read tarot because it's all over both my social media platforms. Like, all you have to do is Google my name and find, like, me holding a picture of a tarot card. Like, it's precious to me and that I want people to know about it, but that's not always everyone else's opinion or way they do things.
This summer at Chicago's Pagan Pride, I don't know if you went, but Chicago's Pagan Pride.
I've gone.
You should. It's a fun time. So every year.
I do. I want to. I did go, but I want to.
Oh, well, you're coming as my special guest next year then, sir.
Fantastic.
So I've gone every year. I cover it for the show, and I, you know, I also sell art. I art. But this year, just for fun, some friends and I put up a little sign that said that we were giving tarot readings, and that, you know, it was, tarot readings were $5, or nice readings were $5, and honest readings were $10.
I love that.
It is impressive how many people had to really sit there and analyze whether or not they wanted an honest reading. And do you find that when you're reading for somebody, especially when they're paying you, how honest do they actually want you to be versus how much is this just a chance for them to get some warm fuzzies about how they're already feeling?
Well, I would hope that the way I think about it is that if you're coming to someone for something like a tarot reading, you know something is amiss already. not necessarily a miss in a bad way, but you know you need clarity on something. So I would hope that through research and through what I've put out in the world, that they would know that if they come to me, they're going to get something that's honest. Hopefully it'll be empowering and inspiring, but I'm not someone to like wrap up something warm and fuzzy. I'm a little more like, you know, X, Y, and Z is what I see. You need to do A, B, and C, in my opinion. I think people do come to like get the warm and fuzzy, but I think that in my experience, because they know that's not like my niche, I think that if I'm not warm and fuzzy, they're okay with it. Not that I'm like a dick by any means, but I'm not very like, I guess that I'm not that like love and light spiritual kind of person. I'm an Aries, so I'm a little more straightforward than that.
Oh, when's your birthday?
April 5th.
Oh, April 18th. I'm this close to not being an Aries. Mm.
That's my mom's birthday, actually.
Really? It's a good day. It's a good day.
And Melissa Joan Hart's birthday, fun fact.
Is it really?
It is, because I was obsessed with Sabrina the Teenage Witch growing up, so I knew all about her.
Okay, so you said the words. What do you think about the new Sabrina?
So, like, the first four episodes, I was like, I mean, it's like, I like their take. I'm not super enjoying it. But then, like, the last leg of the season, I was hooked, like, 100%. And I just love how campy it is. And, like, I loved it. End of the day, I really enjoyed it, and I can't wait for season two.
The Christmas special. I'm very excited for the Christmas special.
And the Christmas special.
I'll use some Sabrina terms. I swear to Satan, if we do not get some satanic Christmas carols, I'm going to be so mad.
Yes.
I desperately need satanic carols. So
I would like, my thing was like, after the first two episodes, I was like, oh, they're really going for it. Like, they have committed and they are going with it. So that's what I was like, okay, I'm on board.
Now, I will say the one thing that I found about this show is that, I mean, they use the Church of Satan, and a lot of that, it harkens back to how people thought witches, what people thought witches were for hundreds of years. I mean, they thought that they, in order to gain power, mm-hmm. they had to make deals with the devil. You know, they thought they did black magic. I mean, all of this is, if you're a big fan of the Salem witch trials, this is what they thought witches were doing. I mean, it's sort of like the show Salem, but just in 2018. So the idea of the satanic mm-hmm. worship wasn't jarring to me, because I was like, well, yeah, this is what people thought it was for a long time. But I think that something that I don't know, that surprised a lot of people was, you know, how much it really fit with what church is like. I mean, I'm from a really small town of 585 people in East Texas. We had 9 Baptist churches, and they call it a Church of Satan. They call it all of that. But I'm like, this is just church. This is just a fundamentalist church with a fundamentalist pastor.
Yes, I went 100% caught on to that. And I even told my boyfriend, I was like, they're going in. I was like, this is clearly like an allegory for like the real like Christian church. And it's such an interesting commentary, because I was like, this, that's what they're doing. And like, they're not hiding it.
There were so many people that were just so upset by the fact that it was like, oh, this is Satanism. And I don't want people thinking that pagans are Satanists, or that witches are Satanists, or whatever, and all that stuff. I'm like, then watch the show, because this is just church. This is just a fundamentalist pastor who's telling his congregation how to believe. Like, the God could be anything. The God could be,
the church, like, of replace Satan with anything. And like,
this could be the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, and it would be the same dynamic.
The FSM.
I love them. Praise his noodly appendage. So something that people have a lot of trouble with, myself included, I am a self-avowed failure at doing this, is reading for yourself. Do you have any recommendations on people being able, I mean, do you read for yourself, or do you have other people read for you?
No, I read for myself. I read it myself. for myself every morning. I, you know, do a quick meditation and then pull some cards just to see what's up. If I have a question that I can't really answer on either on my own or without talking it through, I'll throw some cards. Honestly, it's not as difficult as people think it is. It's just, I think the key to me is being objective, and asking your question, laying down the cards, and then kind of taking yourself out of it. I always recommend, like, if you're having trouble, writing the reading down like you're addressing a friend. And then once you're done, go back and read it, but just put your name where you put, like, friend or other person. I think being objective helps. I think a lot of people, are looking to see what they want to see or hear what they want to hear. And if you take yourself out of it, you kind of get away from that a little bit.
It's really interesting. I find the objectivity part of it really difficult. And, you know, when you've been reading
I'm not saying it's, like, super easy, but...
When you've been reading for a really long time, you tend to, you're like, oh, well, the three of swords could be this, or it could be this, or it could be this, or it could be this. Mm-hmm. And you always find the way to sort of massage that reading so that it's the best of all possible outcomes. It's like, oh, I'm going to win the lottery today, and a supermodel is going to offer to give me a handy J in the bathroom. Like, yes, it's...
Oh, is that what that card means?
That's what that card means. I turned over the tower, and all that means is that I'm about to just get it from Tom Welling. Not that...
In the bathroom.
The bathroom. At work. That all of a sudden he works there somehow.
Yes. Well, you have it here, folks. That's what that card means, so good luck.
That's what the tower is. Tower reverse. That's the Tom Welling card.
Yep, there we go, exactly. I mean, it's phallic. It makes sense.
There you go.
But I think the key is, I think the key is objectivity. I think using the same deck helps. I think there's such, like, a millennial, like we want to use all the new pretty decks that come out, and there are, like, so many, and they're all so beautiful. But, like, find one deck to familiarize yourself with, and you just use that deck to read for yourself, so you become more familiar with the cards and what they're trying to say. And just do it every day. I think that's my, like, number one thing with tarot. I'm like, pull a card a day. Like, do a 3-card reading for yourself every day. It doesn't have to be super elaborate. It doesn't have to be super complicated. I mean, literally my readings last maybe 20 seconds. I'll, like, shuffle the deck a little bit. I'm, like, the worst shuffler in the world, so I just, like, cut it a couple times. Like, lay 3 cards down. I'm like, okay, interesting. Like, da-da-da-da. Cool, I'll keep that in mind. And then I put them back and, like, get on with my day. I'm not, like, staging my apartment and then, like, meditating and then, like, lighting candles and then, like, calling down Hecate and all that. I'm like, I just throw them down, take a note, and put them back. It takes, like, 20 seconds.
Your boyfriend walks in. You're floating in the middle of the room surrounded by all of your candles.
I'm, like, butt naked. I'm like, leave me alone.
Do you think that decks have personalities?
I don't know. I find that if I find out too much about the artist and I don't agree with what they're saying, then yes, they do. So I try not to really learn a lot about the artist. Like, some really cool decks have been kind of ruined for me because I found out, like, I just don't agree with what the artist thinks the tarot is. And I'm like, well, now every time I use that deck, I'm going to think about this. I don't think they have personalities. No, I think they reflect the personality of the reader.
See, I ask because, you know, I'm, like we all do, everybody collects decks. It's just, they're pretty. They're art. You should do it. It's fun.
And that's exactly what I say when people say, like, why do you have so many? I'm like, these are, like, miniature little art galleries.
It's
like,
art.
They're beautiful. You have to collect them.
It's art. So I read, I do my regular readings with the Druidcraft Tarot because it was very easy for me to pick up. It was, I don't know, it just jives with me. I get it. I can use it. It's a very understandable deck for me. And so it makes having the conversation with a Quarant very easy. But I have a bunch of others. My friends all hate the Deviant Moon Tarot. They hate the Deviant Moon Tarot. They hate it so bad because when they read with it, it's just like, oh, death and doom and destruction and awful, terrible, terrible things. Like, I don't like the Deviant Moon Tarot because all it's going to tell me is that life is terrible and that we all die. And it's like, so they're convinced that the Deviant Moon Tarot has some kind of personality. And I don't know. I mean, I feel like the art style of different decks, you know, can lend itself to a certain vibe of reading.
Yes. Yes. I will say, now that I think about it, that I own a copy of the Thoth deck, but I have never used it. And it's like, I pick it up and I'm like, and again, I'm not like a super like woohoo juju kind of person, but like I pick that deck up and I'm like, there's something about this deck that makes me not want to use it. Cause I don't know a whole lot about Aleister Crowley. Like I know like some things and I've done a little bit of research, but like a lot of what I've read, I'm like, I don't know if I want to invite that kind of energy into my bedroom or like into like my, cause like my little reading space is in my bedroom. I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that. Like Freda Harris, the artist, like the deck is gorgeous. And I'm like, there's something amiss here. So that actually is one deck that I do not work. I own it just for like, just because I feel like you have to as a tarot reader. But I don't use it. I tried, I bought like the book. There's a book on it. I forgot who the author is about like, and it kind of explains how the cards work. And I got like 20 pages in and I was like, ah, this is a lot even for me.
What's the deck that what's your go-to deck?
My go-to deck is old girl Rider Waite Smith. I'm actually kind of on the hunt. I own a ton of decks. But I'm kind of on the hunt for like the deck that will permanently be mine. I use the Rider Waite a lot because it's what I used on. I'm sorry, what I learned on. And like every book you ever read, like it's in there because it's not copyrighted, so you can use it however you want. So I use that one a lot. I feel pretty connected to that one. But I am currently in the search for a deck with a little more representation.
You heard it here, folks. Kind Matt of represents is in like the market. Day world a little bit. Matt is in the market for a good deck.
I am. I'm in the
he
market.
He needs a good deck, a nice a one deck, that can go the distance.
Good representation.
Long lasting deck.
Yeah, cause I think I fell into the trap where like I was like using different decks for like different, like every client I would like pick out a different deck. And I fell into that trap where I was like, I just need to work with one for a little while. So I re-picked up the Rider Waite Smith and that's my like go-to at the current moment.
Okay.
Gotta keep it classic, but
so
I'm on the.
When I talk to readers, I have to ask a couple of the woo-woo questions. First of all, what do you think it is that you're doing when you're reading tarot?
I'm channeling the Dark Lord himself and delivering his messages. Pray Satan.
Thank you.
That's what the people want to hear. That's what they want.
I do declare, I think you're giving me the vapors. Oh, goodness. That was good.
Oh, goodness. No, I am not channeling the Dark Lord. To me, I guess when I lay down the cards, to me, the tarot works in archetypes. It works in symbols. Everyone knows what a heart means. Everyone knows what a crown means. Everyone knows what a sword means on some level. So really, to me, it's about laying down the cards and asking, like, what does this mean to you? Here's what I think it means. What does this mean to you? And starting the reading like that. To me, readings are conversations. Like, it's not me being like, here's your past, here's your present, here's where you're headed. It's more about a conversation. Like, this card could mean this in your past. What do you think? What does that mean to you? What does this symbol mean? Do you have any questions about what you're seeing? So it's more about just kind of tapping into, like, that collective unconscious. And hashing it out.
Do you think that spiritual tools like the tarot, like dice, coins, pendulums, things like that, are these things that anyone can pick up? I mean, is it purely psychological? Is it just sort of us telling us truths? Using, you know, techniques that anybody can learn, or is there a spiritual component to it? You know, you're channeling the essence of whatever. I mean, am I predicting the future using woo-woo?
Mm-hmm. I think, yes, I think anyone can pick up tarot, anyone can pick up runes, anyone can pick up any sort of divination advice and use it, 100%. I think the way people use it can be different. Like, I know there are readers out there who can, quote-unquote, channel spirit, do have guides, and they give amazing readings. I've had readings myself from them. I don't think necessarily, in my opinion, no two tarot readers, no two people using divinatory devices are going to do it the same, and no two people are going to give you the reason as to why it works. My opinion's a little more psychological, and I do think there is a little bit of confirmation bias in it, 100%, but not in a bad way. I think it's a lot of, like, this is what you need to hear because you're denying yourself this knowledge. Like, you secretly know it, but you need this, like, confirmation to be like, yes, this is wrong. Yes, this is the direction you should be moving into. But I think outside of that, I think 100% anyone can pick up a tarot deck and learn to read. And I encourage people. And that's kind of why I'm starting to do what I do now is I'm trying to take this, like, oh, you have to be the seventh child of the seventh child and given your deck by an old family member, and then you have to be, you know, blessed under a full blood moon before you can pick up a deck. I'm like, no, like, go to fucking Barnes & Noble, unwrap the U.S. game system plastic from it, and start reading. Like, that's all you have to do. It takes 20 minutes. Like, and then after you have the deck, then do the research, then play with it, ask the questions, ask people, and we have the internet. Like, there's so much information out there. Some of it's so fucking bad and wrong, but at least look into it and pick and choose what works for you and what doesn't.
Somebody touching your deck. There are a lot of people.
Oh, I don't give a shit. I'm like, here.
There's a lot of people that have a lot of opinions about people touching your, yeah, your decks, your spiritual tools, things like that. Does that jive with you?
Yeah, I don't care. Like, again, things are only as precious as you make them. As long as your hands aren't, like, covered in jelly, like, yeah, you can shuffle the deck. I want you to, I'm a shitty shuffler, so if you can shuffle better than me, please do. I think there is something to be said for, if you're reading for someone, for them to hold the cards and either I usually have someone, like, at least cut the deck. Cause I think that there is some sort of energy exchange there, and I think it definitely helps. But yeah, as long as you're not covered in, like, chocolate, like, yeah, please, like, hold them, look at them. Like, I want you to touch them.
Or maybe unless you're covered in chocolate. Like, maybe you can only touch it if you're covered in chocolate. Then it's the only time.
Please dip your hand in this chocolate syrup.
Please,
and then
here,
touch my tarot deck, please.
I have this fudge. You may have some.
One of my very first Rider Waite decks I gave to my boyfriend, but we did a reading the other night. And, like, I had forgotten I left it in my work bag for so long that, like, coffee is spilled on it. I had left a banana in my work bag for, like, weeks, and it got, like, all black and, like,
that's
mushy,
gross.
And it got all over the deck. So, like, now the deck is, like, stained and, like, kind of sticky, and I'm like, this looks cool. It looks like it's super old, and it's, like, maybe old. I was, like, shuffling it. I was like, ooh, I feel, like, so cool right now. This deck's, like, so ancient.
I feel extra like witchy with my banana mold
exactly.
On my cards.
My banana stained. Like, some of them were, like, sticking together, and I was like, ew, gross.
I don't know what that does to, like, the Ace of Cups or the Wheel of Fortune whenever you've all of a sudden got it marred with mold, but I'm sure that can't be good.
I clean it. And then, actually, I have a copy of the Morgan Greer, and my cat spilled tea on it. Like, I had, like, a cup of tea, and she was, like, being a cat, and she, like, knocked it over, and it got all over the deck. So now some of the cards are, like, rippled and, like, kind of brittle. It just looks really cool.
Where do you recommend that people start? Okay, so they've heard this episode. They love the Bad Tarot Reader. They love everything Matt Harris. They want to be just like him when they grow up. Where do people start? Is it a book? Is it a YouTube series? I mean, I, like you, I started with a playing card-sized deck of Rider Waite and an instruction booklet. Mm-hmm. And I was I started with playing cards and a Jillian Kemp book about how to read playing cards.
Wow.
Like a fortune teller, like a gypsy fortune teller. And then I got my Rider Waite. But where do you recommend that people, you know, start?
I would recommend the very first thing is just buy a deck. Like, if all else fails, pick up a Rider Waite. They're all over Amazon. Borders, I mean, not Borders. Wow, I'm aging myself. Barnes & Noble.
Borders was clearly superior to Barnes & Noble. Sorry, just tangent there.
Well, I mean, I agree 100%, but that's for a book podcast. That's neither here nor there. I would recommend, if you can, going into, like, if there's one in your town, going into, like, a metaphysical shop and buying one, you know, support local business. But if you can't find one, like Amazon, just order a deck, get it, and then just play with it. Like, again, it's only as precious as you make it. And in my opinion, like, you have to, like, you have to, you know, get down and dirty with your deck and just shuffle it, play with it, pull a card every day. I'm a huge proponent of the tarot journal. So, you know, pulling one card a day and just journaling about it for a couple pages, or not even pages, a couple paragraphs. Just what you think the card means, what you see in it, what it could mean. I'm not a huge fan of reading the little white books that come with the decks. I think that there is something to be said for learning the traditional meanings, and you definitely should at some point. But I think that the cards will have more power if you can relate to them more, as opposed to, like, this is what this card means, and it only means that, because that's very rarely the case. I would say when I first started learning tarot, I got on YouTube. I don't know if you're familiar with Kellyanne Maddox on YouTube. She's this reader in England, and she is awesome. And I learned a lot from her on tarot. She's got, like, a little tarot trainee course that she does. And then I just started buying books. I think the best book on tarot is one by Benabel Wen called Holistic Tarot. But it's, like, literally the size of a Bible. But, like, any information you could ever want to glean comes from that book. And she approaches it from it's, like, very metaphysical, but also very practical, which I really appreciate. Because, obviously, I love the metaphysical, but I also really crave that, like, practical guide. And that book really has both. But I think if all else fails, get your hands in a deck and just start working with it. Pull a card a day. Read for your friends. Like, it's not as serious as most people think it is.
So if people want to find more of you, how do they get in touch with you? Do you give readings online, or is it only in person?
Yes, I will happily. I actually don't have any way to buy a reading from me at the current moment. I'm kind of working on it. My website's a work in progress. But yes, I will happily read for someone if they want. You can find me on Instagram. It's at Bad Tarot Reader. It's full of memes. Or my website is badtarotreader.com. And you can get a hold of me on either one of those platforms. I encourage people to reach out, and if you want a reading, I'll read for you. If you want to talk about tarot, let's talk about it. Like, I'm happy to spread the word of our Dark Lord.
Well, Matt, I cannot tell you how excited I was that you agreed to talk with me today. I know that time is of the essence here on this Sunday morning, so I won't take up much more of your time. But I did want to say thank you so much for being on the show. Rioters, if you want to get more of Matt Harris, head on over to his Instagram, head on over to his webpage. Hopefully soon he'll be he'll be doing tarot readings online so that you can get one of his bad tarot readings. They are phenomenal. thank you so much. Guys, please like, rate, comment this show on iTunes, Google Play, wherever fine podcasts are given away for free. You can find the show notes on incitingariot.com. Email me, Firelight, FIRELYTE, at incitingariot.com. Facebook.com/incitingariotpodcast. Twitter at incitingariot. Who am I? Whatever. You guys know it. All the rest of the stuff's on the show notes. Thank you guys so much. I'm going to leave you, but as always, I will leave you with love and light, Firelight.